Chapter 9. By 9:45 Monday morning, we had been in the air for an hour, and we'd made up enough time to be only 40 minutes behind schedule. We had a cozy little group: Trowbridge, Thompson, Lucinda, and yours truly, a flack from Levitt's office named Jeff Wells, and a gopher for him, Jennifer Seawright, a studio flunky, and her gopher, a guy who knew how to replace toner and ink cartridges and make computers behave, another guy who looked to me like he could mop up the floor with a gunnery sergeant, and who was Trowbridge's personal trainer, a person whose gender I had to guess at, but who carried a massive makeup satchel with him or her at all times, and a couple of short-necked knuckle-draggers. No proxy. She was back in Hartford, telling the suits not to worry about the Trowbridge policy, or something like that. Proxy has 3 rules. 1, don't lie. 2, back up the people who are working with you. 3, if rule 1 conflicts with rule 2 wins. So I wasn't worried about her. First stop would be Nashville. That's right. Not one of the East Coast biggies, not Atlanta, not even Miami. Nashville. Nashville is the single best per capita market for westerns east of the Mississippi. This from Wells, who had decided that he and I should be good buddies. No one knows why. Maybe just because the entire city lives on haddocks. I shrugged. I was concentrating on figuring out which members of our merry band had illicit pharmaceuticals stashed in their travel pros. Also, I couldn't get Rachel out of my head. No question about it. The chick is a drama magnet. Always has been. But things got way weirder after my return from Iraq. Had she cheated on me and then gotten fucked up guilt-tripping herself over it? Don't know. Something huge had gone down, though, and I had no idea what it was. Wells interpreted my indifference as ignorance and explained his comment. A haddock is a country way.